I want to just first say thank you to our brothers who led us in worship this morning. Thankful for the songs that were sung, for the prayers that were given, for the table talk, as well as the time to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, so sometimes you come in a little needing some fuel, and worship has a way of just doing just that, filling us up. And we're thankful for this opportunity we have to be in the presence of God and God's people. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. I'm going to look at verse 15. It says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to be able to look into your word. Thank you for the great example of Joshua. Thank you for the great example of many godly men who have lived this life and has shown us a great example of what it is to prioritize you and to live for you and to die for you, Lord. We pray that we may be able to look at these examples and that we might model ourselves after the good, and we might let go of the bad. Help us, Father, as we strive to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua is an interesting story. A young man that comes on to the scene, and from our first recollection of him, we know him to be a faithful young man. At this time in Joshua 24, he's about ready to pass on. And as we look back at his history, I'm reminded of the time where he was in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through the end of that chapter. And it shows us that he was a person that Moses looked and gave him some great responsibility. You remember when Moses was on the hill, they were fighting the Amalekites, and remember when Moses' arms were lifted up, they prevailed. But yet when his arms went down, the Amalekites prevailed in battle. And we remember Aaron and Hur that came beside him in order to be able to lift his arms up and make sure that the Israelites won. But oftentimes Joshua kind of gets lost in the story because Joshua was there in the battle. Joshua was the obedient servant whom Moses told to go down there and to lead the men in battle. And they worked all together in order to gain this great victory that God gave to them. Joshua, we remember his youth and him. We remember him as being one of the ones that came back with that good report. They went out and spied out the land, and you see that this young man was kind of like one of those, look, this is what God said. God said we were going to have the victory. God, you know, and yet he was very optimistic about things, and we saw him come back with that good report, even though the other 10 spies were speaking negatively. Joshua and Caleb, they maintained. God said it. We believe it. Let's do it. Let's get it. It's ours. He was a man of great, great faith. And I know oftentimes we look at this in verse in Joshua 24:15, and you don't really think about Father's Day or even about him being a father. But I want you to just see some things about this young man, well, now an old man, and the wisdom that he's bringing to us. First of all, he says, look, I don't know about what y'all are going to do, but we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We've seen this early on where he is diligent about the things of God. As Moses entrusts him, obviously there was some history. I mean, we're first introduced to Joshua, but Moses wasn't. Moses saw something in this young man. A zeal, a fire, a love for God. A way in which he would prioritize the things of God and even put himself out there in battle, in front of battle, leading others to accomplish God's will. See, Joshua was serious about serving God. He was so serious about serving God that as he's sharing in this chapter, if you start at verse number one, he's really encouraging the children of Israel, serve God. And sometimes he's not even saying it so nicely. He's saying it with force. We've got to serve God with enthusiasm. You've got to serve God. You've got to place God, put God in his proper place as number one. And as men, as fathers, as husbands, as leaders, we're called to do likewise, to put God number one and in our lives, and to challenge others to do the same. Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. But one of the things I love about Joshua is Joshua first looks at himself. He in this very scripture, he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Plato said that the first and best victory is to conquer self. See, it's hard to lead others if you first can't lead self. There was a discipline that Joshua had. There was a love and a zeal, once again, for the things of God that Joshua had. And it became infectious as those that were around him. He recognized the power of his influence. And if I'm going to lead others first, I've got to look the man in the mirror and correctly see self and recognize the areas that we need to change, that I need to change in, that we need to change in if we're going to be godly examples for others, if we're going to be God's man. He says, me. And he recognizes he's not walking alone. He says, in my household. And I found this startling statistic as I was looking, researching. And it says that if a child comes to the Lord, you know, one of our young men and women would come to the Lord, and maybe they went to camp, and they're enthusiastic about coming to the Lord. Everyone that goes to camp isn't a Christian, and everyone who goes to camp's family aren't Christians. And maybe one of the young men or women are converted, and they go back home, and they tell with excitement of this newfound faith that they have in Jesus Christ. And it says that 3.5% of the family will come to the Lord based upon the influence of that child. If mom comes to the Lord and she comes back enthusiastically and starts sharing with her children and with her husband and saying, look, I found the Lord and this is the way that I think we ought to go, 17%, considerably more, 17%. Of the families will now, the entire family unit will become converted. That was better, a lot better. But I want you to hear this about the fathers. When the fathers come, 93%. If a father comes to the Lord and his influence is so great that 93% of the family, of that whole of family units, come to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us not take on and adopt the ways of the world. The world will tell us that, brothers, we don't matter. They will preached this message even to women, saying, look, you don't need a man. And some have adopted that same mentality, saying, I don't even need a man. You see, I think Satan has been using this same old trick time and time again, trying to cause schism and division between families, trying to take the man out of his proper place, trying to do everything he can because he understands the power of that 93%. See, if I get him, I get them all. If you look at statistics, and I didn't do this, but I've done it many years, look at the statistics of those that were in jail. Most of them came from fatherless homes. Most of them came from homes where there was an issue with dad. Brothers, we've got great power that God has given us. And with power comes great power comes what? Great responsibility. We've got great responsibility. Joshua understood that great responsibility. He says, look, first for me, I recognize the word. I put God in his proper place. I serve the Lord, and it's not only for me. My influence needs to carry on to my wife. My influence needs to carry on to my children. My influence carries on to all the household members, because me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, I love this. If you look back, just start at verse 1 for a moment. I'm not going to read the chapter. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods. And then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied to his descendants, and gave to him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and also I went to Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Here's Moses now starting to recall all the wonderful, wonderful things that God had done for the children of Israel. And he's going to continue on that message. And as he continues to share that great message of the way in which God had blessed them immensely, the way in which God gave them vineyards that they didn't plant, they were able to eat off of trees that they didn't have anything to do with, God provided all for them. And he gets down to that. Look at verse 13, exactly what I was just sharing. I've given you a land you didn't labor, cities you didn't build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Recognizing and remembering all the beauties and the wonders that God had done in their lives and the ways in which he had allowed them. Think about Egypt for a moment, the way he allows them to just escape out of it. And it wasn't just an overnight thing. This is God continuing to show, I'm with you. He was showing plague after plague, and finally Pharaoh broke. And even when it looked like, oh, man, we're going to be sucked back by them, they're after us, God showed them in a miraculous way. He splits that Red Sea and allows them to cross over dry ground. Swallows up their enemies in the sea. Gives them a new chapter for their nation. And yet, one of the things that continued to happen over and over again was, I serve you. I love you, I don't. I love you, I don't. I love you, I don't. I serve you, I don't. They began to be influenced by that land. And Joshua, wisely looking at that, recognized and says, you know what? No, this has got to stop. Not on my watch. Matter of fact, men, fathers, this is your watch now. If you're a young father, if you're an older father, maybe you've already gone through. And I mean, even if you're an older father, you're still raising some children. You're still a consultant. But especially for the young fathers that are out there, or the fathers that are soon to be, recognize the importance of what you have. I remember the very first time I saw my son, and he was just a concept. He was a figment of my imagination. I knew he was coming and all that, but it's different when you're finally holding him in your own arms. And I remember looking down and going, man, now I've got to mold him. I've got to give him direction. I've got to, and one of the things, it actually helped me to let go of some things because I recognized the awesome responsibility that I now had. I've got to be an example for you. I've got to do better than even my father did with you, and then push you to do better than me. Such an awesome responsibility. And as Joshua is showing them, look, I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what the world is doing. You know, we're going to do it this way. We're going to serve the Lord. We've got to have some sort of great conviction for the things of God in a society that is opposed to him, in a society that would want to strip any kind of, you know, even mention of God. We'll promote anything else, but don't say God. All right, that's another sermon for another day. But we have got this great responsibility. And what Joshua is doing, he's inspiring them. He's challenging them to step up. He's challenging them to not live like the past, like the fathers did in going after these false idols and being able to be influenced in the land. No, he's saying, look, we've got to maintain our integrity. We've got to maintain God's standard. We got to continue to preach and teach and live as God's people. And I want you to see something about this challenge. He gets to verse 16. Because I've been guilty of this. I stop right there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And, you know, and we just continue going from there. But look at what happened afterward. They said, verse 16, the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in the way. And the Lord drove out from before all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Brothers, our job is to challenge one another, challenge God's people, challenge our families, challenge ourselves as we look into this mirror and see ourselves. We need to be challenged. And we need to continue to remind others of the goodness, the blessings that God has showered upon us, the great responsibility he gives us also. And we need to recognize our influence, how influential we are, because I want you to see something about Joshua's influence. Joshua was an old man. It says in verse 29 that it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, and he was 110 years old. And they buried him with the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of the mountain Gaash. And Israel, listen to this, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. You know, this tells me that our influence lives on after us. During his lifetime, you know, Joshua was saying, look, let's continue. He's continuing to remind them, look how good God has been. Look at how good what God has done in our lives. Look at the ways he's provided for us. Look at the doors that he has opened for us. Look at the ways in which he's enriched our lives. Let us continue to serve God because we are indebted to him for all that he has done for us. He continued beating that same drum. Somebody heard him. The people, while he was living, heard him. And even after he was gone, it says that the elders that were there, that outlived him, that continued to serve with him, they continued, the people continued to be faithful to God. My desire is that my children remain faithful to God, not just while I can see him, not just when I can see him, but when I can't, and when, because I've separated from this life, I'm gone from their presence. Amen. Some of you this morning, the tape is playing. Dad may not be here. Dad hasn't been here. Or mom hasn't been here. But their influence is still heavy on your life. Brothers, we can choose what type of legacy we leave behind. And it starts first by what Joshua first said. Look, Joshua made a conviction that his life wasn't his life. His life was all about service to God. And see, if we take that same conviction, if we make that same conviction, then we too can have that same type of influence in the lives of our children, in the lives of our spouses, lives of people that we interact with. Let's leave behind that great legacy. Not one where we were just here and the dash was just time that we were waiting for that final moment to go. No, we want to be influential. We want to be influential for good. Leave behind a good lasting legacy. But it starts with making a decision. It starts with holding to these convictions, to not being swayed by the world but by saying, look, here's what God says. This is how we're gonna live. This is what we're gonna do. And you are the man to do it because you're the most influential one in your household, if you know it or not. I know, we joke about the women, she runs the house and all that. Don't forget your responsibility. Our brother read it in Ephesians chapter 5. God looks for a man. God looks and he empowers him and he says to him to be that leader in the household, to rear up his children in the admonition of the Lord. That's his responsibility because he's the leader. When he comes down, when God came back down in the garden, he didn't ask for Eve. Adam, where are you? Step up, live up. Let's have the influence, the godly influence that lives past each and every one of us. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you have not yet surrendered to Joshua's God. Joshua was clear in who he was and who he was living for and what his family was all about and his household is all about and his nation. He challenged them to live for God. Will you follow after Joshua's example? Will you surrender to Joshua's God? Will you come this morning and surrender to God this today? How can you do that? Well, Jesus came, as we talked earlier and looked at the Lord's table. We remember a death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a story that oftentimes when we talk about death, it's a sad story, but in this case, this is a story of excitement because we recognize that we are receiving this great gift of salvation. Death did not hold Jesus. He rose from that tomb. Couldn't hold him. And maybe, one of the things that the word tells us is that same power that was able to lift up Jesus from the dead. It's that same power that works within us. It's the same power that enables us to be able to get up and to continue living this godly life. And you need the Spirit of God residing within you in order to make it to the end, in order to be able to stand before God. You're not going to stand before him with your works. No, you need his Spirit. You need his Spirit that he gives you. And with that Spirit, you know, it is the seal that marks us and identifies us as God's children. Well, how do you get that Spirit? You're baptized. Peter said, when they asked, they were pricked in their hearts. In Acts chapter 2:37, after he preached that gospel message, he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's available to you. This gift of the Holy Spirit comes and he cleanses and washes away your sins and restores you to relationship with the Father by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what you do is you come and you surrender. You say, look, I'm done with me. And I'm ready to serve you. I lay down my life. I surrender, like the song, I surrender all. And then, you know, sometimes that's a little intimidating because we go, well, man, that's a huge commitment. Yeah, it's a huge commitment. But it's the greatest blessing you ever receive. You know, when we went and bought our first home, man, it was a little scary. It was a little scary. And we had a, you think this is a lot of pages. I think whatever we signed was double the amount of pages of this Bible. Y'all, you guys have been through the process. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't know what I'm signing. I'm just going, all right, sign right there. Okay, sign there. Yes, 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 yes. I didn't know it. It was fearful and all that. But I'll tell you, when we were ready for the next house and we sold the first house, there was a great blessing. There was a great blessing. All right. We actually made out pretty good in that deal. Well, God wants to be a great blessing for you. And while it's hard and sometimes it's scary, and I don't know all the fine print, sometimes you just gotta do like you did with that Lord. Just I understand the big picture. I don't have all the details. If you're trying to get all the details all the time, you won't do anything. But I understand who Jesus is. I understand I want his salvation. I understand I want to serve him and live for him. And then guess what? Every step of the way after that, you grow and you grow and you grow. And there's, look around the room. There's no finished products here yet. None. Preacher, elder, deacon, ministry leader, Bible school teacher, doesn't matter. There's no finished products yet. We're all still awaiting that day where we will be perfected. But right now, the decision you need to make is, who are you going to live for? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to surrender to? Will you surrender this morning? If you're ready to make that decision right now, God is ready to receive you. We are ready to receive. The angels in heaven are ready to rejoice as you surrender to him in baptism this morning. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?